if you were here last Sunday, what we talked about was baptism. And if you weren't here last Sunday, that's okay too. You're probably familiar with baptism. Baptism is an important time where if you're a youth or an adult and you are baptized, you've made a decision to follow Christ and to make that a priority in your life. And then what we talked about is that once you've made that decision, think of it as, okay, I've made a decision to go into God's house and live with God in God's house. That sounds pretty good, right? I'm going to hang out and check out the rooms and really follow Christ, which means doing, doesn't it? Yeah, we have to do things to follow Christ, right? So I got a question for y'all. Everybody's calories pretty much free throughout each day, right? Right? Y'all don't have much scheduled. Obviously, I'm being very sarcastic, right? We all have much going on, right? Adding more, you really have to pick and choose, right? And so therefore, the doing of following Christ, wow, that's more on the plate, right? You know, we are a busy society. In fact, this is from Harvard Business Review, a quote, "In today's America, complaining about being busy and working all the time is so commonplace that most of us do it without thinking." That means we're busy, right? We do that. So if someone asks you, "How are you?" we no longer say, "Fine," or "I'm well, thank you." Oftentimes we may say, "I'm really busy," right? Okay. I know I've done that many a time, right? And furthermore, you see the picture of the person with all the different things going on, right? Forbes says we need to understand what people mean when they say they are busy. Are they using the word as a proxy for other feelings such as fatigue or being overwhelmed? Has anybody felt that way before? Maybe now? Overwhelmed, fatigued, right? And a shorter version of how I'm doing is busy versus explaining the fatigue and et cetera. And may also be saying, well, I need to readjust my priorities, right? All right, busy, busy. Frenetic, is that a word you might think of? Yeah? Okay, oh gosh, now we're just cruising through. It does it sometimes. Hang on, we're going back. I'm going to make sure, now I'm at the right one. Okay, another Forbes article. University of Lancaster researcher discovered that we are now spending 5 hours a day on our mobile phones on average. It's kind of a wow statistic, right? Why? We believe we have to work at all times of the day, or at least be in touch all times of the day. Often on mobile phones answering emails, texts, and other encroachments on our time. Americans check their phone on average once every 12 minutes or over 80 times a day. Wow. So along with all the items we're doing, our phone becomes an item that we are spending a lot of time working. All right. The busyness crisis, which is what these articles are talking about, forces our brains into a different way of behaving. We believe multitasking. Have you all heard the term multitasking? We believe multitasking is the way in which to dig us out of being overly busy or overly busy whole. If we multitask, do multiple things at once, we will not be as overwhelmed because we'll get more done, right? That's the thought. Well, guess what? The researchers say the shorter answer is it doesn't work. It actually makes us more frenetic and overwhelmed. All right, are y'all feeling this? It's that, isn't it? And notice I started out, it's America. We have that going on in our society. We're can-do folks, right? Harvard Business Review said, the undesirable psychological consequences of an overworked lifestyle are well known. The long-term negative impact is on happiness, well-being, and health. It's true, right? So it's something we want to stay away from, possibly, right? How do you do that? Has anybody tried to do that? It's not easy, right? Well, actually, our scripture today helps us with that. It does. Because what we have is Jesus is on the banks of the Sea of Galilee, right? And he's walking along the coast, and he's preaching the good news, saying, the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven is near. What he's saying is the kingdom of heaven is near, as in here on earth, if you follow my way, if you follow my lifestyle, my teachings, it will bring heaven for you and for many that follow me here on earth. Does that sound pretty good to you? Heaven on earth for all of us by following Jesus' teachings. Okay, that's good. And then, walking along the bank of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus sees Peter and Andrew fishing with their net. He walks up and says, come, follow me. And they drop their nets and follow Jesus. That was it. Come, follow me. And Jesus continues along and he sees James and John, brothers. They're on their boat fishing with their nets. And he says the same thing. Come, follow me. And they drop their nets and follow Jesus. And you're like, wow, would you agree that's faith? Do you think they had other things going on? Well, first off, they're fishing, right? They have plenty in their lives, right? Just all, like all of us. But they followed. Now, notice that Jesus was out preaching in that area. Probably heard Jesus talking about this heaven on earth, right? This different way of living that is more peaceful, right? There you go. Yeah, so Jesus also let us know later what it's like to follow him. In Matthew 11, Jesus says, come to me, all that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. How does that sound? Take my yoke. A yoke is following Jesus, right? And learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay. That's good, right? You're probably going, okay, how does that work? Well, notice that following Jesus, it's a singular focus. In fact, the people that were with Jesus asked a question of him and said, Jesus, boy, there we go. There are 300 commandments in the Bible. Well, not in the Bible, but commandments that are taught at that time. The Bible wasn't written then, but commandments. Which one is the most important? Which one is most important? Without hesitation, Jesus said, love God and love your neighbor. Love others. Love. Love God. Love your neighbors. Is that multitasking? No. Love God and love your neighbor. I guess there are two things there, but they're both love, right? Very focused. Our purpose in following Jesus is to love God and love our neighbor. And that's how this happened, where you actually, the burdens are lighter, right? Following Christ. And so with that, yes, that's a sailboat. When I was a youth, I thought sailing looked pretty incredible. My brother and I got one of those, you know, those small catamarans, very light, and right? And we found a used one. We got it, and we sailed on Lake Dallas. Okay? Actually, it works. And then Bridget grew up sailing, and that's my wife. And so when we got married, we both had sailing in our background and said, let's go find a boat. We found a boat that was kind of beat up, right? Hey, but it sailed. And we got it for a good price, right? And we got a boat, and on weekends, we went out sailing. And sailing, what's wonderful is it's calm, it's peaceful, and the wind carries you. And so I like to think of following Christ as you're in the boat, and so the boat is your journey, right? Following Christ, okay? And God, through grace and love and God's power, is supporting your journey. Nice, huh? Right? The breeze supporting you in that journey. And you see the person in the photo, that's the helm doing the rudder. We're at the rudder deciding, because we have free will to choose where we want to go. God gave us that. We have cognitive capabilities, a brain to choose where we want to go. But that God is guiding us through Christ, Jesus, and provides us a map, the Bible, the Word of God, as our map of places we can go for this rest, right? And this light burden of following Christ. The disciples, when they dropped their nets, the fishermen, did they know where they were going following Jesus? Nope. Not really. They'd heard about this kingdom of heaven on earth, right? But not really. Well, that's kind of us, right? We are on a journey, but we're going port to port. I'm going to keep this analogy going here, right? And so one of the ports, we're in it today, it is the port of worship. Port worship. And by the way, this is off our website. This is, in fact, it's got our youth band on it, right? And loving God and loving others. Here in worship, we are absolutely loving God through we've already done prayers throughout this morning, our hymns, Lord of the Dance, singing praise, right, to God. We're hearing God's word through Scripture, right? Praising. Are we loving each other? We're all together, singing together. Joys and concerns. Did we pray for each other and pray for others in the community and in the world? Loving each other, right? Folks, we're in the port. Right now, the port of worship. Yeah. Now, there's another port, the port of small groups. And we have four small groups throughout the week. We are adding another small group in the next 2 or 3 weeks. We'll continue to add, but we've got two on Sunday. We've got Tuesday and Wednesday. So small group. Did Jesus have a small group? 12, right? Disciples, small group. In the small group, what we do is we pray together. Highs and lows with each other and support each other. Is that loving each other? Yeah. Loving each other. And we're loving God throughout, and we're talking about the message amongst the small group folks to go out into the world and follow Christ in our life. Loving God and loving our neighbor. If you haven't done a small group, I fully recommend it's in bulletin and our newsletter, the times. It's online and in person, so we're always hybrid, just like worship. So you can do it from your home or do it in person in a room here at the church of the small group. Either one. There's one more port we're going to go to. Y'all ready? All right, here we go. It's the port of serving. So, loving God, serving. In Matthew 25, Jesus says, "You took care of me when you took care of the least of these, your brothers and sisters that are in need." When we take care of folks that are struggling and in need, Jesus is saying, "You're taking care of me. You're loving God." Right? Serving, you're doing that. And so, in the church, there are ministries that you could do serving throughout. Here in worship, we have a tech team. We have liturgical arts. We have choir, right? All the different scripture reading. And then, whether it's Sunday school or youth group, multiple ways, ministry teams throughout. And then we go out into the community and the world and serve. The photos you see here are folks that are serving at our nonprofit nearby Sunnyvale Community Services, in which we bag groceries. Last time I did it with them, we bagged 600 groceries over 2 hours. It was wonderful, right? Because these groceries go to the folks that are in need of food. And our church also, the United Women in Faith, whether it's scarves or creative items of handiworks that take care of people, right? We've got a food pantry, the port of serving. And then I'm not going to give it away, but we got a new serving opportunity that you'll hear about next Sunday that we're going to do over the next month. And we'll do it together as a church after worship. Stay tuned. You like that? Okay, just kind of fun, right? So therefore, following Christ takes us away from the worldly busyness and allows our souls to have rest and take away our heavy burden. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Praise be to God.